The Northern Alliance Radio Network on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and World. Northern Alliance Radio Network with the band that was the first item on our next guest's resume. Pleasure to welcome back to the show, Senator Norm Coleman, current senator from Minnesota, former roadie for 10 years after. As always, a pleasure to welcome you to the program, Senator.
Great to be with you. Welcome back.
Well, this is Captain Ed, Senator Coleman, and again, our pleasure to have you back on. You know, we were when we originally set this up, there was a whole range of issues that we wanted to talk to you about, but I think the pressing one is one that just came up in the last couple of days. You gave a fairly extensive speech about your opposition to the surge in Baghdad, and it's obviously caused a great deal of controversy here among the conservative audience here. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your opposition and where that puts you in the war on terror.
Sure, and two things. One, I'd also encourage your listeners to go to my website at www.coleman.senate.gov. I put together a little blog when I was in Iraq, and they kind of printed it all at one time. Take a look at it, because it lays out in a little more detail, perhaps even than we'll get to today, both my the conversations in Iraq and kind of perception where we're at. It's very interesting, by the way, and I want to say one thing up front. I firmly agree with the president's vision that this is the battle of our time. A failure in Iraq would have tremendous negative consequences across the board, both in terms of what happens in Iraq itself, and I think in a bloody escalation of ethnic cleansing, which unfortunately I fear is happening in some ways already. And in addition to that, the destabilization in the region would go far beyond what I think people understand. Saudi Arabia is not going to stand by for the Iranization of Iraq, and it's going to be a lot worse for us. So we have a stake in success. I don't believe that the course that's chosen is a strategy for victory, and I articulated that to the president. And here's my concerns. It was interesting because he said a lot of what I think. We came to some different conclusions. What I've seen in Iraq, is we've got different kinds of wars going, battles going on. We're fighting a battle in Anbar province with our Marines that are out there doing every day what Marines do very well. They're killing the enemy. We don't hear the stories of the massive influx of foreign fighters and success they're having because we're eliminating on a daily basis. We Fallujah was a rat hole about a year ago of violence and insurgent control, and it's not that way today. You have, for the first time in that area, in a Sunni area, Anbar, you've got sheikhs who are coming to our side, who are saying no to the foreign fighters. You have Sunnis who are actually signing up for the police force. That wasn't happening 6 months ago. That's the good news. The reality, though, is for the progress the Marines to make in that area to hold, you need the Sunnis to come in. And the reality is, what's happening in Baghdad is a civil war. It's sectarian battles. Death squads of Shias killing Sunnis and Sunnis killing Shias, mostly, by the way, in this case, of the Shias right now, after the bombing of the shrine in Samarra, which I talked about in my blog and the president talked about in his speech. You have the Shias at that point, the cap came off the bottle. And my concern is, when I'm there and I'm talking to the National Security Advisor, to Maliki, I'm talking to top Iraqi officials.
Dr. Rubai, right?
Dr. Rubai, yeah. And he's telling me and Bill Nelson, sectarian violence isn't the problem. That we really don't need our troops. This is, by the way, 3 weeks ago. We don't need more American troops in Baghdad. We'll take care of that. We'll take care of the problem are the insurgents or the foreign fighters. And I'm reading we'll take care of that, meaning that the Shias will wipe out the Sunnis. And I'm thinking of Marines in Anbar who can clear, but they can't hold indefinitely. And I'm saying if the Iraqis got to show us, and they got to show us up front their commitment to dealing with the sectarian violence. They got to show us that they're committed to putting an end to the death squads. They got to show us that we'll finally pass a national oil law that shows the Sunnis that we're distributing resources across the board. They're not sending money into Anbar province, not because the money isn't there, it's because it's a Sunni province. And so my pitch to the to the president is, let us up front let the Iraqis show us what they're going to do. I think I got the quote of the day in the New York Times the other day is, why put more Americans on the line now on the hope that this time they'll make the right decision. They weren't telling me they were prepared to make that decision. So for me, it is, let us not put our more troops now in the crosshairs in the hope that somehow they're going to do something that I can tell you, gentlemen, I wasn't seeing as little as 3 weeks ago. I'm not with Chuck Hagel on this, who says this is the worst military blunder. We are fighting a battle in Iraq that we have to win. I'm certainly not with Ted Kennedy and pulling the funding. But I disagree with the president did the decision to put 20,000 more troops, most of them in Baghdad, at a time that I haven't seen a commitment from the Iraqis to do what needs to be done.
Well, Senator Coleman, let me ask you this. Now, you have the Shiite militias, like you were saying, they're certainly probably the dominant force in Baghdad, I would imagine, at this point. I mean, the Sunni insurgents probably are outnumbered by the Shiite militias. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Don't you think that conducting operations against both insurgents would allow a little bit more political room for those for the government to be able to make those decisions?
But I think what you need to see, remember, we have a government that's supposed to be a government of all the people of Iraq,
right?
And what I'm objecting to is that it's going to be principally that it's on our shoulders. To do what you just said have to be done. You're absolutely right. You need to have action against the death squads on both sides. But my problem is I don't think that's our battle to be out front on. And this is where the Iraqis, I mean, we sacrificed a lot of blood and a lot of treasure, and I don't want to fail. But, you know, what the president said, I'll tell you what Condi said, because, you know, we had her in front of our committee. I serve on the Foreign Relations Committee. And I told her, by the way, what I just said to you, and her response is, we need to do them both simultaneously. It's a tight. She said, we can't sit back. We need to do both now. And what I'm saying, Condi, is before, at a certain point in time, we've got to get the Iraqis to do what they say they're going to do. You know, we were in Baghdad a while ago, about a year ago, and it was not successful. And now the president and Condi will tell you, and Secretary Gates will say, we didn't have enough troops. It wasn't our plan. We didn't have a commitment from the Iraqis to do what had to be done, and the rules of engagement were not what they should be. In other words, there were political factors that literally stopped us from going against certain enemy at a certain point in time.
Yeah, Maliki, in fact, stopped us from going against the Sadr militias.
And I raised the question of, at one point in time, the question of why we lost one of our soldiers. We were told to take down the barricades, take down some of the checkpoints that we had. So I'm looking at now. I'm told now it's all changed. That's all changed. And what I'm saying is, show me before you put another, 15,000, 20, whatever you're going to put in Baghdad. Anbar is different, but show me before you do that our folks who are putting our lives on the line for are committed to doing what they're doing. Because if they're not, then we really have to. We will have to rethink how we fight the war on terror. We will probably have to think about redeploying and in areas, cutting off the flow of arms from Iran into Iraq, cutting off the flow from Syria. And unfortunately, if this doesn't succeed, and we totally have to shift tactics, there will be an ethnic cleansing that will go on in the areas around Baghdad and in other areas throughout Iraq. And that would be a major disaster, far worse than we're at today.
Do you think that General Petraeus, who's going to be taking over in Iraq, and who is a counterinsurgency expert for the American military, do you think that he has the number of troops that he has in Baghdad now? Do you think that would be sufficient to do what you're asking, which is to act in a support capacity for the Iraqi army, which is going to be bringing in Kurdish units to
the Peshmerga? Two observations, by the way. I'm not in a position to tell General Petraeus does he have the right number of troops. I can as a senator say to the president, I want to see the Iraqis do things up front before we put more American lives on the line. But let me just say this: I pray the president's right. If he moves forward, and I'm not going to cut off funding. If he could, because that will affect all our troops. If he moves forward, I pray he's right. But I have to tell you the one thing, that the one ray of hope is that he could be right. And again, I disagree with him strongly. But I have to tell you, General Petraeus is the best damn general that I've ever run across. When I went to Iraq the first time and I got to know him, I will tell you this. I didn't, I, I, I listed some of the other generals, and I had some concerns, and sometimes I thought we were getting fed a line. The one guy that I thought was the smartest, was the most candid, straightforward, I walked away being this guy's biggest fan. And then I wondered what happened to him, and all of a sudden I find out he's back. He's the best darn general, and I got to tell you, my colleagues on armed service and others concur. This guy knows what he's doing. He's very, very good. I just fear, though, that we're in a position, if the Iraqis don't do what they need to be done. I said to Condi Rice, you know, in the end, it's, you know, fooled once, shame on you, fooled twice, shame on me. But Petraeus is one damn good general.
Well, let me play administration's advocate for a moment here, Senator Coleman. The government of Iraq is kind of in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation here right now. They have to take care of the Sunni insurgents, but if they lean excessively hard on the Sunni insurgents with their Shiite-controlled government, they'll be seen as partisan. In the meantime, they have to eradicate their own Shiite partisan militias. They're in a situation where if they're doing it, there's really no way they can come out looking. I don't know if there's a way they can come out of that in any sort of a strong position. Hence, the need to get a third party to come in and do the job potentially for them, if you will, to reset the situation so the government is in a tenable situation.
I think what you're missing there, where the death squads,
right?
The death squads represent a small extreme on both sides. So the vast majority, and by the way, Condi Rice tried to say this at the hearing when she was saying, you know, people, it's not every Shia is killing every Sunni, and every Sunni is trying to kill every Shia.
Right.
What you have, unfortunately, is because of the level of the violence, and I got to tell you, gentlemen, the grotesqueness of the violence, which is intended to have an effect and does have an effect, that the vast majority of those folks that we saw holding up the purple fingers, okay, they're afraid to do anything. So the government doesn't have to beat the Sunnis. He's got to show the Sunnis, Malik's got to show the Sunnis that he's serious about stopping the death squads of Shias, even though he's a Shia. And they have to do that. And at the same time, they're not suppressing the Sunnis. The insurgents, all the Sunnis are not insurgents. And all the Sunnis are not foreign fighters. But if we don't get to reconciliation, if there is not a political resolution by the Iraqis, we risk more and more of the Sunnis tying in with the insurgents. They are not all insurgents now. And I reference, Anbar province, where Fallujah is where I was, where you have Sunni sheikhs who are now kind of joining forces because they're tired of the killing, they're tired of the violence. I have to tell you, and I said this statement, it's a harsh statement, I don't think that the Shias and Sunnis, the extremists, are tired of killing each other. I don't think there's enough blood that's run on the streets for them to finally kind of get tired and say stop. And so the government needs to step in. They need to step in to quell this, because if they don't, then in the end we will be caught simply in the middle of a civil war in Baghdad, and the efforts we make in places like Anbar, I think, will go for naught.
Senator Coleman, can we keep you for another segment here?
Absolutely.
Great. Thanks a lot. If you have questions for Senator Norm Coleman talking about the situation in Iraq and life in the minority after many years in the majority, we'd love to hear from you. 651-289-4488, talking with Senator Norm Coleman from Washington. We'd love to hear from you. 651-289-4488. This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot.
It's down to this. I've got to make this life make sense.